Richard Feidler here. Thanks for downloading this Conversations podcast. There are many, many more at abc.net.au/conversations.
Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conversations. Today's conversation's a bit different. For a start, it was recorded outdoors in front of a huge live audience, in front of 5,000 people, probably many more than that. And the person I was interviewing was the 14th Dalai Lama on his recent trip to Australia. It all took place at lunchtime on a warm winter's afternoon in Brisbane's Botanical Gardens, right next to the river. Luca Bloom, the Irish singer-songwriter, sang for the crowd, while the Dalai Lama spoke backstage with some people who'd suffered great losses during the floods 6 months ago. And then he was on stage. He kindly invited me to sit next to him on his white couch. And at that point, a shaft of light caught in his eye, and he carefully produced some sunglasses from his cloth bag.
Yesterday morning, I went to see eye specialist. So dark glass gives me more comfortable. Not out of disrespect to you.
I'd been told that while the Dalai Lama's English is good, it isn't perfect, and if I wanted to get the best from him, I should keep my questions short and my language simple and meaningful. That's actually a more tricky exercise than you might think. I'd like to begin with your thinking that it's wise to avoid attachments on life's journey. How is attachment different to love, and how can you have love without attachments?
Love is much wider, attachment smaller. The difference is closeness feeling with other, and also even is oneself. Love oneself, love other. There is closeness feeling. Now there are two levels. One level, a kind of love with much attachment. So that usually I consider biological factor of love is oriented towards other attitude. Therefore, that kind of love cannot extend to your enemy because their attitude is negative. Then another level of love, affection, that not oriented towards others' attitude, but rather like a human being itself. That level of compassion can extend towards your enemy, irrespective whether their attitude towards you nice or hostile. Doesn't matter. The important is these people, also human beings, also have the right to achieve their happiness, to overcome their difficulties. So development of the sense of concern of their well-being, that is secondary level, higher level of compassion, love. Now these two loves, compassion. First one, limited, biased towards the oriented, the other's attitude, that is very much mixed with attachment. So once attachment develop, your view become biased. One time in Argentina, we had one meeting, some religious leader, some scientist, and then one Chilean famous physicist. He mentioned at the meeting, he is physicist, quantum physicist, but he should not develop attachment towards his own scientific field. So that time I learned, I am Buddhist, I should not develop attachment towards Buddhism, because once I develop attachment towards Buddhism, then my view becomes biased. Through that way, I can't see the value of other tradition objectively. So therefore, attachment is a kind of emotion which based on much mental projection towards one's own friend. There are some drawbacks there, but while you develop attachment, you can't see the negative side. Similarly, when we develop anger, the object or the person who feel agitation and you develop anger, the anger towards negativeness about that person. Actually, according to one American scientist, I forget his name, when I met him, his age already 84. He's very specialist about human beings who have some sort of psychological some problems. He really have many years of experience. He told me, when we develop anger towards a person, then it appears as very sort of 100% negativeness, negative. But actually, 90% of that negativeness, mental creation, he mentioned. So that's why when strong attachment develops based on much sort of exaggerated mental projection, beautiful thing, positive thing. So attachment, when strong attachment or anger, hatred there, you cannot utilize human intelligence properly because your basic attitude become biased. So in order to investigate reality, our mind must be open and look the object objectively. Right from the beginning, you consider this positive, that's negative. Then suppose investigate will not be genuine, objective sort of investigation. So that's the differences. Attachment and love, there are differences. Genuine love based on reasons. Attachment based on no proper reason, just your own feeling.
My next question concerns grief, because there's been natural disasters in this part of the world and nearby recently. Do you think that grief for the loss of a loved one is a feeling that should be averted or accepted?
It is really logical and worthwhile. There's someone very close to you that lost, then you must feel a grievance or sadness. But or sadness, such an extent, too much sadness, and lost your own self-confidence. And due to too much worry, sadness, lost your hope and demoralized. Then mistake. Your loved one tragically passed away. You should keep sadness or grievance, but that should not sort of causing your being become difficult. You must bring that sadness, transform into new enthusiasm and energy. One example, when my main tutor, who gives me the monk ordination, when he passed away, I felt one solid rock which I can lean. Now that lost. So I really feel terrible. Then I think, if I too much sort of sad, a little bit sort of demoralized, then my late teacher, if there is way to know my condition, and he get more worry. Instead of demoralized, I further sort of determination. Now my teacher no longer there, the solid rock which I can lean no longer there. Now I have more responsibility. I have to fulfill his wish. So that sadness transform the positive sort of enthusiasm or strength. So I carry that kind of spirit. Then if he have some way to know my condition, he get real sort of satisfied. So similarly, your loved one lost. If you remain too much worry and eventually ruin your physical health, and that way even shorten your life, I think your loved one who have some way to know your condition, then really feel too much sad. So instead of that, the sadness transform your inner strength. willpower, and carry your professional work or whatever your work, some constructive work, carry continuously with full of enthusiasm, then your late friend, if any way to know, feel much happier. So think that way. And some kind of problems, I think over 6 billion human beings on this planet, everyone have some kind of problem, always there. I said, the Dalai Lama, this young, I think my age, that age, I think much less worry. Since people, you see, choose me as a Dalai Lama, I become Dalai Lama, that means more responsibility, more concern, more sort of source of worry.
You're listening to Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio and the World Wide Web.
It's a special Conversations program today, recorded with the Dalai Lama himself, and it was held on his recent Australian visit in front of a huge live audience at Brisbane's River Stage. His Holiness talked for a bit about being exiled from Tibet, the place of his birth.
My own case, I'm a refugee. At the age 16, I lost my own freedom. And age 24, I lost my own country. And since then, over 52 years, I remain refugee. Meantime, lot of problems. However, I think comparatively, my mental state quite peaceful. That not due to no longer problem, but problem there. In spite of that, I can utilize some method. Through that way, I can maintain my peace of mind. Some form of problem always there. But we each one, as a human being, we have the ability to keep inner peace. So the inner peace you can't buy. Peace must develop within ourselves. I think two things I usually telling people, two factors in order to develop inner peace. First, use intelligence. Then look everything, particularly these problems. We should look more wider perspective, more holistic way. Then you can see the reality. I think one example, when we develop anger, yes, you may get a little irritation, but strong sort of hate or anger, impossible to develop with too much sort of sun, too much hot. You may have some complaint, but it will not produce strong anger. And then people as a whole, some irritation you can express, but you cannot develop some kind of fierce sort of anger. Fierce anger must have independent, absolute target, one individual or one particular sort of event. Focusing that very negative, then that moment, that object appears, that negative, independent, absolute. So when you develop strong anger towards that absolute negative, then someone told you that object not that bad, some good things, or that difficult situation compel develop that due to some other sort of conditions, factors. Once you're sort of focusing an object independent, absolute negative, once you look more wider way and see that event happened due to other factor, then intensity of your anger automatically reduce. Then also, when we develop anger, you cleverly separate from anger. What's the anger? Immediately, the intensity of anger reduce. So therefore, that's one way. Use intelligence and look holistic, wider way, then things are interconnected. No absolute, no independent. Then another, compassion, compassionate mind. The more sense of concern of well-being of other, less room develop negative feeling towards them, because you love them, you respect them. Even different some views or different attitude doesn't matter. Basically, same human brothers, sisters. So these two ways, cultivate compassionate attitude, use your intelligence realistic way, these two methods, your peace of mind or opposite or destroyer of peace of mind, then reduce. As a result, your peace of mind can maintain in spite come across some difficulties. So that also, not as a religious matter, religious practice, to non-believer, you can use these reasons. So I usually describe these moral ethics, essentially secular ethics, not related with religious belief. In fact, from my viewpoint, from Buddhist viewpoint, all major religious tradition based on human ethics. So human ethic itself is universal for everybody, irrespective whether believer or non-believer. Therefore, basic human ethics should be secular ethics. So now, latest scientific finding also, you see, show us compassionate mind very helpful to sustain your immune system. Constant anger, fear, hatred, very harmful for our health, because these negative emotions, actually, some scientists say, eating our immune system. So therefore, compassionate mind is very good for our health. And obviously, those family among your neighbor who really enjoy genuine human friendship, love, trust, these family, no matter rich or poor, happy, much happier. Those family, although maybe millionaire, very rich family, but within the family, not much human friendship, and some kind of distrust, some kind of suspicion each other there, no longer much of joyfulness. So observe carefully, you will develop conviction, warm-heartedness, genuine friendship. Obviously, genuine friendship based on trust. Trust based on your sincere, honest attitude. That come from extreme self-centered attitude? No. More open mind, more concern about others' well-being, then honesty, truthful, develop. That brings trust. That brings friendship. So I always say, maintain, we need secular ethics. This does not mean disrespect religion. According to Indian tradition, secularism does not mean disrespect, but rather respect all religions, no preference for particular religion. So that's the genuine concept of secularism. In the West, I think in Europe, and French Revolution, and also Bolshevik Revolution, when they emphasize secularism, there may be some sort of negative attitude towards religion. If we sort of investigate, if you look closely, not a religion, not a religious sort of message of love, compassion, forgiveness, nobody against that. Only the religious institution. At that time, religious institution very much linked with ruling party, elite people. So when people revolt the ruling sort of party, they also say against the religious institution, which fully support about the ruling class. So there is sufficient reason to revolt against religious institution. So such time, such people, when they say secularism, may have some sort of meaning against a religion, that essentially religious institution. In any way, according to Indian sort of concept, secularism is very positive, not negative.
You're listening to Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio and the World Wide Web.
This is a conversation I had a few weeks ago with His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama in front of a massive crowd of people who were enjoying a sunny winter's afternoon in Brisbane's Botanical Gardens. The Dalai Lama then took some questions from the audience.
Why were you picked to be the Dalai Lama?
That's a long explanation. I think firstly, based on the philosophical view which accepts life after life, so rebirth. Then also you see have the view according inner spiritual development. Some have the power to choose where, when, which area, which family you choose your next birth. In some cases, the previous life, at the end, you see some kind of will. My next life will born such year, such place, and in some cases even mention the parents' name. Very convincing. Then also some cases the child express memory about past life very clearly. Again, you see, very convincing. So these are the basis choosing or recognition the new life of the previous life. In my case, search party, firstly, they sort of investigate which direction. And then they found east direction. Then eventually they identify the place. Then send search party at that particular place. When search party reached my place, actually three boys as a candidates. And then one boy passed away. Two boys remain. Between these two, the test on my case, luckily, more successful. So I win that candidate.
After he took that question about how he was chosen to be the Dalai Lama, he then turned and looked at me and asked me what my job was.
What is your profession?
The media.
Media, oh. Media? I usually say telling media people should have like elephant nose. Smell everywhere. Like religious person, religious leader, and the mayors, and must smell in front. Then we everybody try to look smart, isn't it? I try to be smart as a Buddhist monk. But then the important thing is smell out behind what really happening. So that's your duty. Then inform people what is the truthful, what is the true situation. People, particularly democratic country, people are the ruler of the country. So the people should have full knowledge what is the reality, what is happening. So you should inform them, provided you should be honest, truthful, unbiased. So I think nowadays, in many parts of the world, in Australia, I don't know how much serious about corruption. In many parts of the world, serious corruption, isn't it? So in free country, one best method, best sort of the instrument to check these corruption. Firstly, of course, independent judiciary, then free media, complete freedom of expression, complete freedom report without fear. That, I think, one of the very, very important instruments to check, to make balance about cleanness of the system or cleanness of the society. What do you think? Do you agree? So, your profession, very important. You should carry your profession honestly, unbiasedly, sincerely, will be very, very helpful to build healthy society, healthy community. Then on top of that, I often receive telling media people, the media also have important role for promotion of human value. You not only is it telling people about economy, millions of dollars like that, not that, that also important, but at the same time telling other human value in order to be happy human being, in order to get inner peace, inner sort of calmness is the key factor. That also media people, I think, should have more important role in that respect. And then another thing, media people also have important role to promote religious harmony. These two things, my lifelong commitment.
You're listening to Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio and the World Wide Web.
It's a special Conversations program today. It's one I recorded a couple of weeks ago in front of a great big live audience of many thousands of people at Brisbane's River Stage with His Holiness the 14th Dalai Lama. At this point, the Dalai Lama was taking questions from the audience, and a really unusual thing happened. He seemed to find one particular woman who had come right up to the front of the stage to ask her question, and she seemed a bit distressed. He stopped and he pointed at her and said, "You." And then she stepped forward and asked this question.
"Your Holiness, I represent
people who have..."
"Excuse me."
Okay.
"Quite brain injuries, and we go through an inner struggle which is very, very hard, and we can't relate with society because we can't communicate with them. It's a very hard challenge, but with practice we can often learn to do a lot of the things that you're referring to, and I find you extraordinarily inspirational. I've had 9 brain operations, and my question is, how could we reframe our situation to be able to feel more in touch with society?"
When she finished, I was sitting right next to the Dalai Lama, of course, and he turned and he looked at me and he just said very quietly, "Oh, too much emotion," and invited this woman to come up onto the stage. She was brought up on stage and she sort of rushed out, and then she embraced the Dalai Lama. It was this really lovely moment, and the audience applauded, and she had this look of great and profound relief on her face.
"You're lovely."
"Okay. There are millions of people, I think, when they know about your sort of situation, I think we'll develop full sort of concern and sympathy. So you don't worry. Even an animal... some animal also have the sort of ability to share other suffering. Some scientists, according to their sort of experiment, they tested mice or guinea pig, 2 guinea pigs injuries, and one put another sort of companion. One remained alone. Then the guinea pig which have another sort of companion, then often that companion leaking. So as a result, recovery much, much faster, that guinea pig, than the other one remain lonely. So we human beings have the capacity share other suffering. So you don't worry. You are one of the 6 billion human beings. No worry. Don't worry. But certainly, you show me your sort of smile. You have ability that. So you show smile more people. Then more people come to you. And also your face, quite handsome. So, okay, no problem. No problem. Yeah. You yourself should not with feeling of isolation. Some physical difficulties, that's okay. But still you are a human being. Still you have the ability, social act. Then people in America and also Europe, I also visited some prisons. So much worse than your case. You see, prisoners, sometimes the society rejects these people. That totally wrong. Society must give them hope and must give them sense of community. If people reject, like AIDS patients, sometimes you see reject, that's wrong. Of course, the appropriate sort of measure to protect health. But mentally, we should not sort of kasoda reject. We must bring them as a society, part of the society. Give them confidence. Give them dignity. I think those people who physically little weak and little sort of unfortunate sort of family, we must extend our love, our concern. We should not look down. Then those individual who sort of little sort of difficulties, your side also, you should not feel discouraged. You must keep your self-confidence and determination. So please think yourself as a normal human being, some difficulties there, but doesn't matter, and keep your sort of self-confidence. Then I'm leaving tomorrow, but I will give you my address. So from time to time, write me your sort of situation. And any complaint to me, most welcome.
I would like to ask, how do we actually learn to develop love for our perceived enemies?
The system goes like this. We need warm-heartedness. The direct sort of hindrance of warm-heartedness is anger, fear. So the counterforce of anger is patience. And also, you see, some extent, fear, there are two kinds of fear. One kind of fear with reasons, like, you see, mad dog coming. Then fear is very necessary. You have to run away. Mad dog coming. If you still say compassion, compassion, that's foolish. So that kind of fear is very reasonable fear, scientific fear. But sometimes, you see, when we passing through, particularly my own case, when I was very young, in Potala Palace, in some area, very dark, at that time, no electricity. So when I passing through these dark corridors, worst thing is, there are some, you see, people have sort of superstition, these dark area, some ghost there. So when I passing through this sort of corridor, I really feel, oh, there might be something. That fear is baseless fear. So in any way, you see, fear with reasons. If you have more sort of anger, more distrust, and then these fears increase. So therefore, as a counterforce, anger, fear, I think patience is very important. Now, in order to practice patience, you need someone who creates trouble for you. As a practice of patience, for Buddhist, practice of tolerance with Buddha, impossible. My sort of practice of tolerance with my mother, impossible. My teacher, my tutor, impossible. So the only possibility give by your enemy, isn't it? Troublemaker. When we face troublemaker, then there is chance of losing our temper. That is the occasion, practice of tolerance. So the opportunity of practice of tolerance give by your enemy. The practice of tolerance is necessary. So through that way, sufficient reasons to develop appreciation of the troublemakers, because of the creation of the troublemaker, provide opportunity. One sort of 8th century sort of great Indian master, you see, mentioned, your enemy is best teacher. So thinking these lines, there is real possibility, you see, to develop some kind of appreciation and respect. That does not mean, again, as I mentioned before, we bow down their wrongdoing. The very reason they wrongdoing, so they become enemy. So because they become enemy, they become the teacher of tolerance. So that's the way thinking. Some sense? What do you think? Unrealistic approach or sensible sort of way? If you feel some sense, then try. If you feel that's unrealistic, then forget as you want. Fight with your enemy.
Conversations with Richard Feidler on ABC Local Radio and the World Wide Web.
Today's conversation is a huge public conversation I had with the Dalai Lama on his recent visit to Australia in front of a live audience. The Dalai Lama then answered another question on how you should approach people you think of as an enemy.
Your Holiness, this century has brought many problems with fighting between nations. How can we really love those who we feel threatened from like myself or my family, my country? And how can we effectively carry this message to those who we perceive that would want to harm us?
The genuine compassion is unbiased compassion. Now we must keep our love, compassion towards our enemy, towards our troublemaker. That does not mean we accept their harmful action. Like, I think we always make distinction, sinner and sin. God never forgets sin, but God always loves sinner. So we make distinction. Similarly, action and actor. Actor is concerned, we must keep our love. We must extend our love, genuine sense of compassion. But as far as their wrongdoing is concerned, their action, we must oppose. So eventually, opposing their action out of sense of concern of their well-being long-term. So that kind of countermeasure, in some cases even wrathful measure, harsh measure, out of sense of concern of their well-being, is actually harsh action out of compassion. And actually, forgiveness also that means, that sense. Forgiveness, not forget. If you're forgetting, then no basis of forgiveness. Keep their wrongdoing, wrong done, and not keep hatred towards them. That is forgiveness. But not forgiveness, their wrongdoing. We must take appropriate action to stop that. We can, intellectual level, we can make separation. Their action, which need opposition, appropriate sort of countermeasure. The actors is concerned, still human brother, keep genuine compassion. Now, the recent sort of events, these are because of use negative method, use force, out of hatred. So one violence, counter-violence, endless violence, or the chain violence. So sooner or later, we have to, you see, show our affection to those troublemakers. Then there is real possibility reduce this problem. Violence never can stop by violence. Violence is physical action out of motivation. So only method change their motivation is love, compassion. Violence control their physical. Violence never control human mind, human emotion. Human emotion can change through compassion, through reasons.
Your Holiness, I'd just like to ask you, what can we do to embrace our own deaths more easily and so that those left behind don't hurt so much?
Basically, while we're alive, our life should spend meaningful way, sensible way. That means you live according compassionate life. At least, if possible, serve other, at least restrain harming other. So when believer or non-believer, when at the time of death, if you reflect your whole life, I spend my life meaningful way, sensible way, then you feel happy, no regret. You can tell your children, your friends, I lead my life that way, so this moment, time of dying, I feel satisfied. So my dear children, my dear friend, also, you see, do that way. Then you feel happier. Then on top of that, anyone who believes God, God full of compassion, God in some sense, God is infinite love. So believe God, so submit totally to God, you get peace of mind. Then other tradition like Buddhism, Jainism, which believe law of causality, then since you carried your life more positive way, that's the causes of next life, next good life. So no reason to worry. Through that way, you may feel death is something like change our clothes. Old clothes becoming more worn out, then time come, take new clothes. Like that. When this body, this limitation, it is sort of life. So when that come, then old body, leave old body and take new body. So that's like Buddhism and Jainism, which believe law of causality and life after life.
Your Holiness, my daughter has a disability and I spend a lot of time worrying about her current needs and also worrying about how she'll get on in the future after I'm gone. I'd like to get an idea of how I can better focus on hope and happiness so that I can enjoy my daughter now instead of worrying so much about it.
I feel your sort of concern, your little sort of sadness, certainly. If you believe God, then think of God. God created that way, so there must be some meaning. Then if you believe law of causality, then due to one's own previous action in the previous life, so that things, you see, happen. So our own past mistake, out of ignorance, sometimes even deliberately. So due to that cause, now today you are paying they had a negative result. Then non-believer, you should be realistic. One 8th century Buddhist master, he explained, he makes suggestion, those people who are facing some unfortunate. And he stated, when we face unfortunate difficulties, analyze that difficulty's nature. If there is way to overcome that difficulties, then no need worry. Instead of worry, make effort to overcome that difficulties. If there is no way to overcome that difficulties, then no use too much worry. That, I think, very realistic advice. So you should think that way if you have not much sort of belief, religious faith. Then think that way. Already your difficulties, disability, if there is a way to improve that through medical way, then do it through medical sort of surgery or something. If not possible, then in modern society, there are some sort of organization who look after disability people according their sort of situation, some training. In India also, we Tibetan refugee community also, you see, set up some school for training or teaching, education to disabled sort of children or people. So there must be some sort of center who take care of disabled people. So education, training is very important. I think recently, I met is one Indian boy. His hand, this finger, not there. No proper sort of hand. But he drawing, painting very nicely. So with sort of self-confidence, courage, effort, even disabled sort of body, you see, can do some sort of constructive things. So I think you should try. Then beyond that, if your economic condition, little difficulties in carry these sort of arrangement, then you must find some people, some charitable organization. I think you will get some help. And I think at least here, some Buddhist centers, some Tibetan Buddhist centers, they are not very rich, but I think some desperate cases, I think they can help.
The Dalai Lama then took just one last question on karma, the Buddhist idea that what you do in one life, good or bad, will have consequences for you in another life.
My son is joining the army. If he has to take the life of another person in the line of duty, is there anything he can do to reverse the negative karma that killing causes?
At the beginning, killing some insects, that's quite normal. When I was young, sometimes my relation with mosquito, not good. But then, you see, gradually analyze even these mosquitoes. You see, their sight, no sort of negative feeling, but they are simply their way of life for their own survival, enjoy our blood. So you see, thinking that way, this out of their ignorance or biological factor, so you must sort of protect yourself. There is no way to develop anger towards mosquito. So similarly, gradually, you see, if you give them, your children, more information, others, birds, insects, other animals, also have the same experience of feeling pains and pleasure. So the more you take care, not only they feel happy, but you also feel much happy, much happier. So when you sort of nicely treated cats, dogs, when they respond to you, dogs, their tails doing like that, and then if you sort of close, and then licking you, and cats also, you feel much happier, isn't it? So pay more affection to other, they also respond to you. That brings immense sort of satisfaction or joyfulness. So you see, explain these things to your children. Then gradually, some cases, if necessary, as a mother, out of your concern, show a little bit sort of harsh face. Sometimes it works. Out of compassion. I mean, there's no basis to develop hate towards your own children. So, intentionally, out of your sense of concern, sometimes a little harsh word may be helpful. Mainly, educate them. That's the only way. I really enjoy our gathering here. Now I'm leaving, but your problem remains with you. Your problem, you see, I cannot take. So it is up to you, in spite of those problems, whether you remain a happy person or calm person, that's entirely up to you. I hope you get some sort of more information about the system of the mind. So through that way, maybe you find new ways to deal with internal emotional problem. So if you have some interest, then investigate more. Experiment by yourself. Thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast of Conversations with Richard Feidler. For more information and interviews, visit abc.net.au/conversations.